Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed the podcast today, definitely go pick up your free resource. It's the Top 200 Drugs. It's a study guide I put together on highly testable clinical pearls, as well as things you're going to see in real life as well with the Top 200 Drugs there. Over a 30-page PDF. Absolutely no cost to you. You'll get on our email list when we've got new podcast episodes and things coming out. You'll get updates with that. So again, reallifepharmacology.com. Check out that free PDF for subscribing. All right, so let's get into the drug today. We're going to cover ziprasidone, which the brand name of that medication is Geodon. And this is classified as an antipsychotic. Specifically, it is a second-generation antipsychotic. With virtually any antipsychotic, the primary uses you're going to see are schizophrenia, delusional behavior, hallucinations, bipolar disorder with mania, things like that. Occasionally, in my practice, I have seen it used off-label for dementia-related psychosis. Of course, we certainly need to remember that there is a boxed warning for increased risk of death with the use of antipsychotics for that diagnosis, however. So, important to keep that in mind. Mechanistically, I have covered some antipsychotics in the past. Primarily, we're looking at the blockade of dopamine receptors. It may have some antihistamine-type effects, may have some alpha-blocking type effects as well. The alpha-blocking effects certainly comes into play when we talk about adverse effects as well coming up. One important thing I wanted to mention, specifically with oral ziprasidone with administration, is you need to take the medication with a meal. And that's typically defined as oral intake of greater than 500 calories. And the reason being is absorption goes down if you don't give it with food or with a meal. So to have adequate absorption, definitely encourage taking that with a meal. And I have seen this come into play in clinical practice where a patient is not responding to the ziprasidone as we would like them to. And upon investigation, you realize and recognize that they're taking it in the morning prior to eating and they're not getting adequate absorption. So instead of increasing the dose, actually just encouraging them to take it with food helped to get their drug concentrations higher. So an important thing to note, particularly in non-responders to the medication, just making sure that they're taking it appropriately with food there. All right, so let's talk about the adverse effect profile. And just kind of a broad, quick overview of antipsychotics. So some of the things I'm thinking about, QTC prolongation, risk of metabolic syndrome, so increased lipids, increased blood sugars, potentially weight gain, sedation or CNS depression. Of course, movement disorder type side effects, extrapyramidal symptoms, and tardive dyskinesia. Falls risk, certainly, probably a little bit more so in our geriatric and frail population. Elevation in prolactin levels and drop in blood pressure can sometimes happen as well. If you remember me mentioning the alpha blocking type activity, that can certainly open up those vessels and potentially lead to a drop in blood pressure there. So I kind of quickly ran through some of the adverse effects. Now, with different antipsychotics, they affect these adverse effect profiles to greater and lesser extent. So I wanted to highlight a couple of things with ziprasidone specifically. So ziprasidone is one of the worst second-generation antipsychotics as far as QTC prolongation. So if you know your patient's at risk for this, maybe they've got a higher interval to begin with, ziprasidone's probably a drug you're going to want to avoid. If they've got electrolyte imbalances, they may be at higher risk there. If they're on other medications that can prolong that QT interval, and I'll talk more about that in the drug interaction section. But yeah, if they're on those drugs that can interact and exacerbate that QT prolongation, ziprasidone may not be a good selection for them. Sedative properties, I would say it's probably middle of the road as far as antipsychotics go. Not nearly as sedating as a drug like quetiapine. And again, a lot of this is dose dependent. You know, the higher you go on the dose, the more likely you are to encounter some of these adverse effects. And then one last one I wanted to mention specifically, ziprasidone is probably lower on the risk table for metabolic syndrome compared to a drug like clozapine or olanzapine, which tend to be much, much higher risk for causing weight gain and inducing hyperglycemia and elevated lipids. And then one last adverse effect I wanted to remind you of was neuroleptic malignant syndrome. Extremely, extremely rare with antipsychotics in general, but definitely one you should be aware of anyway. Okay, let's shift gears here. I wanted to briefly touch on metabolism, which will kind of lead us into drug interactions. So ziprasidone is broken down primarily by glutathione and aldehyde oxidase, which this is generally a little bit nicer thing compared to some of the other antipsychotics, which use more of the CYP pathways. Now, ziprasidone can be broken down to a small extent by some of the CYP enzymes like 3A4 and 1A2, but typically it's not going to be to a large enough extent that we run into issues with drug interactions or significant drug interactions because of those pathways. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we will finish up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, NAPLEX, medication therapy management, geriatrics, ambulatory care, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. In addition, we've got Amazon books if you're just looking to brush up on clinical thought process and case studies and drug interactions. We've got a link to our popular Amazon books, and you can get some of those on Audible as well. And I would highly encourage you to take advantage of Audible's promotion where they give you a free Audible book for signing up. Again, it doesn't cost you a dime, so you can cancel out if you're not satisfied, but you can get my book on drug interactions, for example, 8 to 10 hours of content on drug interactions, clinical thought process, absolutely for free, no cost to you by taking advantage of that free book from audible.com. Again, links, you can find all these links, meded101.com/store, STORE. All right, finishing up with drug interactions. So first, I want to mention QTC prolongation. Ziprasidone's higher risk, like I mentioned, compared to maybe some of the other antipsychotics. So we've got to think about those drugs, your amiodarones, some of the macrolides, levofloxacin, some of the SSRIs like citalopram. All these drugs, when added on or used in combination with ziprasidone, could potentially raise the risk for QTC prolongation. Other potential adverse effects, or excuse me, drug interactions, dopamine agonist and Parkinson's type drugs. Remember, using a dopamine antagonist like ziprasidone is going to oppose those beneficial effects. So a patient with Parkinson's disorder, or we're using, you know, a drug like ropinirole, which is a dopamine agonist, that ziprasidone could potentially blunt beneficial effects. And then we've got to think about additive adverse effects, which can obviously present as drug interactions. So I mentioned the alpha-blocking activity. Again, ziprasidone is probably on the mild to moderate scale compared to other antipsychotics, but in a patient who's taking other drugs that may drop blood pressure, such as, you know, alpha blockers or, you know, beta blockers or any blood pressure medication, we can have that additive hypotensive effect. Sedative effect, certainly you got to think about that. You know, benzodiazepines, Z drugs, opioids, those ziprasidone can certainly add to that sedative CNS depressant type effect. And then dopamine blocking agents, thinking about using some of these in combination, particularly one that I've seen used for gastroparesis, like metoclopramide, that has dopamine blocking activity. So using it with an antipsychotic like ziprasidone can potentially exacerbate or enhance some of those dopamine blocking type adverse effects, like extrapyramidal symptoms, for example. All right, so that, as always, you know, with drug interactions, that's not an all-inclusive list, but some of the really the most important things that I've seen in clinical practice. So I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general, definitely leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Go subscribe, follow Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. And like I said, you'll get that free top 200 study guide with that as well. If you want to reach out to me, mededucation101@gmail.com, or track me down on LinkedIn. That's probably the social media platform I am most active on. Again, share us with colleagues, friends, students, other healthcare professionals. Help us expand and grow their medication education background. And again, so appreciative of all you for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.